First up, we have D-Day, The Battle for Normandy by Anthony Beaver.
Southwark House is a large Regency building with a stucco facade and a colonnaded front. At the beginning of June 1944, it looked out over Portsmouth Naval Base to the anchorages beyond, crowded with craft of every size and type, grey warships, transport vessels, and hundreds of landing craft all tethered together. D-Day was scheduled for Monday the 5th of June, and loading had already begun.
Making use of overlooked and new material from over 30 archives in half a dozen countries, D-Day is a vivid and well-researched account of the Battle of Normandy.
On Thursday the 1st of June, the day before the battleships were due to sail from Scarpa Flow off the northwest tip of Scotland, weather stations indicated some deep depressions forming over the North Atlantic. Rough seas in the English Channel could swamp the landing craft, to say nothing of their effect on the soldiers cramped on board. Low cloud and bad visibility presented another great threat, since the landings depended on the ability of the Allied air forces and navies to knock out German coastal batteries and defensive positions. General embarkation for the first wave of 130,000 troops was underway and due to be completed in 2 days' time.
D-Day, The Battle for Normandy by Anthony Beaver. It's read by Cameron Stewart and runs for 19 hours and 50 minutes. By Tank into Normandy, a memoir of the campaign in Northwest Europe from D-Day to VE Day. Written by Stuart Hills.
It was 6:45 a.m. on Sunday, June 4th, 1944, in a wood near Calshot, on the western shore of Southampton Water, and the brigadier was casting a disapproving eye in my direction. I was stripped to the waist in the early morning sunshine outside a tent I shared with Tim Alford, one of my fellow troop leaders in C Squadron, and I was writing a letter to my brother Peter. The brigadier obviously thought I should be more formally occupied, but he said nothing and I resumed my letter, saying that I was working hard, but for security reasons could say little more.
On June the 4th, 1944, 20-year-old Stuart Hills, fresh from officer cadet training, went to war. 2 days later, his tank sunk. Then came the struggles through Normandy in a replacement tank and a constant round of close encounters with the enemy, which swiftly turned Hills into a master of tank warfare.
Later that afternoon, in weather that still seemed favourable, we drove our tanks down to the nearby quay, just where Southampton Water meets the Solent, and boarding landing craft tanks, LCTs, belonging to 15 and 40 LCT flotillas. Ours was numbered 442. We moved out into the Solent, taking care to avoid the myriad vessels plying back and forth, and slowly headed out towards the sea. We had little idea that General Eisenhower, in his Chafe headquarters at Southwark Park near Portsmouth, had already taken the decision to postpone Operation Overlord for 24 hours because of worsening weather conditions. My confidence was lifted by the presence around me of men who were already familiar with the horrors and excitement that war can bring. I was a 20-year-old newcomer and unblooded, while they were veterans of the successful campaign in the North African desert. It had been in January 1944 that I had joined the Nottinghamshire Sherwood Rangers Yeomanry fresh from 100 OCTU, Officer Cadet Training Unit, at Sandhurst. The regiment had only then recently returned from 3 years in the Middle East, a period during which it had been involved in every major engagement of the Desert War, including El Alamein and the breaking of the Marath Line before Tunis.
By Tank into Normandy is read by Roger Clark and lasts for 9 hours and 3 minutes. And finally, The Search. The true story of a D-Day survivor, an unlikely friendship, and a lost shipwreck off Normandy by John Phillips.
Hanging on desperately to the metal railing, Patrick Thomas reaches into the dark water below and begins to untie his brand new leather boots. His hand is shaking from the panic. Water is already up to his knees. The teenager knows that if he doesn't get the boots off, the weight will pull his shirtless body to the bottom of the English Channel.
In 2016, archaeologist John Henry Phillips was volunteering with a charity that took D-Day veterans back to Normandy. Due to an admin error, he found himself without a hotel room and reliant on the generosity of one of the veterans who had a spare bed. That veteran was Patrick Thomas, and it was an encounter that would change both their lives forever.
He reaches up to touch his aching forehead, feeling the warmth of fresh blood. Bringing his trembling hands down to his face, Patrick sees a watercolour of crimson and grey trickle through his fingertips. Tins of paint stored in the bow have burst open in the explosion, covering the men as they desperately try to escape. He gazes across the deck. It is a shambles. Thick steel has been sliced like butter. A dying man nearby is being comforted in the arms of his petrified friend in their final moments. Patrick's boots will not budge. His hand is too wet and shaking too violently. The landing craft is rising up out of the water and beginning to turn over. The boy turns to take one final look at the vessel. What was once a lifeless grey machine has become a home for those now clawing to get away. Coming from all walks of life to train and serve together, they have crossed the world and survived three campaigns. But the war at sea did not end with the landing of troops onto French beaches. Enemy attacks have been constant ever since, and now their time is finally up.
The Search is an emotional story of a devastating time in history. The book's read by Luke de Belder and runs for 13 hours and 2 minutes.